give you feedback.
Wonderful.
Okay, we're going to give you a warning through the PA system whenever we're going to start dialing. Yeah. So you can drop your levels down so people don't go, ouch. Because no matter what we do, it's going to be tons louder. And we'll just say we're getting ready to dial. And then we'll say, okay, we're done dialing. And I'll tweak levels here as you go up or down. Okay? Thanks.
Let's say anything lost. I lost the sound. Let's say if anything is lost. Okay. You want to come up?
We have someone here who lost something and wants to issue a plea for its return.
Yes. That's.
Microphone, please.
How about we use the other mic?
Yo, what's up, dude? Yeah, hello? Hi, guys. A lot of you over here. Hi. Okay, my bag was lost. It was in the mezzanine floor. And it's a black bag. It says O-G-I-O on it, like Oyo. And there's somebody here else. There's another bag. But it's all black, and it has, like, orange stripes. And there's a cell phone pocket on the side, and it's like, it's empty. It's, like, blank. It's so you can, like, tap on it to see if it's my bag or not. And it has stuff in it that's very valuable to me, my graduation pictures, like my camera, digital camera and stuff I took. So I don't know who took it. I won't ask. I don't care if you took it or not. Just give it back to me. You know, I mean, it's very valuable to me. I have a lot of stuff that's really important to my family, and I have medications in there and stuff that, like, I need, you know, just to survive. So, you know, I'm dying right now. But I mean, so I'm serious. It's just if anyone can give me, Bernie asked me. He offered me what? This guy is the bomb. Okay. Okay, no. Okay, we're kidding about that. But just please return the bag. My number is on the mezzanine floor. If you want it, I can give it to you later. Or meet me up here if you have it, or after. We'll say that later. But okay. Please. I really need that bag.
You were at the last conference, weren't you? You were the beatboxer at the Freedom Downtown thing, right? Wow, that was cool. This guy kept us entertained for an hour and a half while we tried to get the film working. So please, if you have his medication.
And the last word I want associated with my name is bomb. But thanks anyway.
There have been a bunch of people who left things lying around. Security was able to grab those and put them in a safe place. There are some cases, though, where someone else might have grabbed them first. And please, people, don't leave valuables lying around. It's New York City, for God's sake. Even if we are encased in a hotel. Which, by the way, has been a lot of fun. You know, the hotel people will encode these cards with your hotel rooms. You know that? It's really kind of cool.
The badges were specially made with a three-stripe, high-coercivity magnetic strip. So go down to the front desk, social engineer.
You don't have to. You just have to ask.
Well,
they'll just do it.
No, several of them have said no, so you have to use a little social engineering and explain why. Whatever. And make sure they insert the card the correct way, or it won't encode properly. Several people said it didn't work. Well, it's because it was stuck in backwards to the encoder. So you can use that as your key card.
Yeah, they say the old card stops working when you do that, so you might
want
to ask for two cards or something. You can only have one at a time if you only ask for one. Yeah, if you checked out, we can't help you.
Use it for the next hotel.
Okay, this is social engineering, which traditionally is one of our more popular panels. Basically, we just talk about social engineering and make a few pitiful attempts ourselves at getting someone to tell us something they really shouldn't tell us. Does anybody have the advisory that got issued? There's a slash dot thing a couple of days ago. Does anybody have a printout of that or a computer we could read? I know it's on the web. I'm not on the web. I'm on the stage. But basically, this happened a couple of years ago. If anyone has it, just bring it up. It's on a piece of paper, printout, whatever. A couple of years ago, when we had H2K, there was a similar advisory from AT&T Security. And they were basically asking people, is everybody getting that feedback, or is it just me? Okay. Maybe we should not have that. Thank you. Yeah, so basically they sent out an advisory, a warning, saying that a bunch of hackers are getting together. It might be social engineering as part of some sort of competition or something like that. So we called them last time and asked them about that, and they gave us some information they shouldn't have given us. Thank you. It was all in good fun, though. We told him, but he hung up after he found out who we were. Let's see.
Hung up
this,
in fear.
This is the memo that went out to people on AT&T, I believe. Caution, be careful about giving information to anyone you don't know and those making unusual information requests by claiming to be an AT&T employee or customer. Claiming to be an AT&T customer? I didn't know that was something that was unusual. The H2K2, Hackers on Planet Earth 2002 Hacker Conference, will take place this weekend, Friday, July 12th, to Sunday, July 14th, 2001. I don't quite know. This is AT&T, after all. In New York City, this conference will be a gathering of over 5,000 computer hackers. Well, they really anticipate a lot more people than we actually thought we'd get ourselves. Guest speakers, computer enthusiasts, and then they give the website, which was nice. In 1994, 1997, and 2000, at the previous HOPE Hackers on Planet Earth conferences, live demonstrations of social engineering techniques were performed in front of thousands of hackers and other attendees. The hacker panel, this is like a PR announcement for us.
Great.
The hacker panel, in fact, I'm wondering if somebody actually managed to get this issued as an AT&T memorandum who doesn't work for AT&T. The hacker panel dialed live into AT&T offices and centers and demonstrated how to get proprietary information by pretending to be an AT&T employee and customer. Okay, these calls were recorded and videotaped by the hackers and are sold as instructional material at future hacker conferences. There is a very high likelihood that AT&T will be a target again this weekend. Does anyone have their phone number? I don't have their phone. If anyone has AT&T corporate security phone number, please let us know. It's on the memo? Oh, Lord. We don't have
it
to do
like
anything. They do it all themselves.
We were scraping for ideas, and they just gave them all to us.
We're never going to be able to get through now. Okay, the social engineering contest is scheduled for Sunday, July 14th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time. During this period, hackers may be dialing into AT&T to get information. AT&T Network Security would like to warn our employees to be on guard this entire weekend for any unknown person calling and claiming to be an AT&T employee to request proprietary information or claiming to be an AT&T customer with unusual requests. Remember, if anyone who is unknown to you calls for proprietary information or makes unusual requests, please follow your procedure by requesting additional information to ensure the person is who they say they are before giving out any information. If the person is claiming to be an AT&T employee, please request name, callback, and HRID number. That's interesting. Now we know that. Do you have my HRID number? I seem to have forgotten it. Then verify...
Human resources.
Is that human resources ID? Okay. Then verify through post or the email global address list if the information is correct, and even request to call the employee back at their contact number. If the person is claiming to be an AT&T customer, verify this by requesting additional info on their account, like address and social security number, which I never gave to AT&T, and even request to call the person back at their contact number listed on the account. Please be on guard for any unusual requests. Verify the person is an AT&T employee or legitimate customer, and if they have a need to know the information they are asking. If you can't verify employment or number, don't give out the information. If you are still in doubt regarding the legitimacy of the caller, then speak to a supervisor regarding the situation before proceeding further and inform the caller you will call them back. If you still have questions, you can call the security hotline, which number is on here, which I'd be a fool to read here. Remember, you do not want to be the lucky guest of honor on a telephone call from the hacker conference this weekend.
Whatever happened to Jim 2 years ago, anyway?
With thousands of hackers listening to you and attempting to scam AT&T out of proprietary information, please be on guard.
Well,
if that's not an invitation, I don't know what is.
I,
I honestly don't know if this number is right or if it's not going to work or if it's busy or whatever. Great. Okay, it's been tried. Okay, well, you know, we can try something, I guess. I don't know how well this is going to work. Is this phone actually hooked up? Let's see if we get a dial tone. Still got those clicks. Okay, it's going to be extremely loud when I dial, so please turn down the audio. And now they can hear me on this? Okay, great. It's not breaking the dial tone. Okay. I think that's the phone. Uh-oh. This is going to make a horrible off-the-hook noise. Okay, well, why does my telesocial engineering story while we're getting the technical snafus worked out? Yeah, introduce yourselves.
I need a microphone. There we are. Well, yeah, I just kind of didn't really know I was going to be on this panel today, but to take up some time, I have some real funny social engineering stories. Some of them I tried to get okayed with my partner in crime, but I couldn't seem to find him. Probably some of the best social engineering that we ever did was with the Caldor telephone system. Back in the day, before Caldor went bankrupt for reasons which I'm not entirely sure of, they used to have a PBX system, you know, private branch exchange, which had a number very similar to their actual store number. I think the last four digits of the number were something like 6670, and the actual PBX number was 6668. It was just a couple digits off. Now, to the untrained ear, it would sound like you were hung up on. You get a dial tone. But we were smart enough to know that it was a PBX and it needed a four-digit code to get in. So for a while, we didn't quite know what the code was until one night we were on a conference call and we said, you know what, let's try CALD for Caldor. 2253, I think it was, and it let us right in. And a friend of mine happened to be quite familiar with their phone system and knew that once you got into the internal phone system, all you had to dial was 63, and your call would be transferred over to the store's PA system. So from anywhere in the world, you could take control of any Caldor phone system, any PA system. They all had the same code on it in the entire East Coast of the United States, 2253. So we used to call up. We read the entire first page of Clockwork Orange over the PA system. We used to put ridiculous items on sale for the first 10 people that can get to the back of the store. You know, the 10-disc Sony CD changer will be $20. 10% discount for anybody wearing red, things like that. Please clean up the zebra shit in the men's section. That kind of stuff. We used to play Ministry over the PA system. Finally, they caught on and realized that the way that they could stop us from taking total control over the store would be to make a page over us. So we'd have a good 5 or 6 seconds, and then somebody would make a page over us. But the funny thing about it was they always thought it was somebody in the store. They had no idea there was any way in which somebody from outside the store could get into their phone system. And other stores, busier stores where people would be stocking up at night, we'd get on the PA system and say, I'm in the store. That was fun. We also got a couple H2K2 attendees this weekend. I don't know if anybody got a call from Jonathan Guile at the front desk just to make sure everybody was very okay. And we'd like to tell our H2K attendees the rules very clearly about the hotel. Most specifically, that lights out were at 10 p.m. People caught on when we said that, but up until then, it was pretty funny. But that was us, if you got a call. Anyone else have any other funny stories? I'm sure Cheshire must have.
What's the public consumption question?
That's true.
So there's a time is my mic hot? Thank you. I used to play with the Marisat network, the Maritime Communications Satellite Network, back in the 70s. Went to a West Coast computer fair. This is back when I lived in New York City, and I was playing on Marisat, the Maritime Communications Satellite. And from here, we're only about 40 miles from Southbury, where the Atlantic Satellite Station is for the Atlantic satellites. I went to California to visit a ComSat General Earth Station, and was invited into by the station engineer because the station manager was out of town when I called up to request. Basically, I was reporting for ROM Magazine. The fellow who was the personal computer editor of the New York Times was a friend of mine and was starting ROM Magazine at the time, read-only magazine. So as communications editor of ROM, I called and asked for a tour of the Earth Station. The station engineer invited me in, and we're talking to the telex and telephone operators. Now, they're rather confused because while they have to place the telephone calls for the guys on the ships all the time, it wasn't automatic service in those early days, they were surprised that there was so much work on the telex call they had them do as well. Now, I had it over on them because I'd been to a ship, and they hadn't. So I explained about my buddy Antonio on the Italica. I just took the bus out of Port Authority, crossed over to Secaucus, and visited his ship. And when his ship had docked, he still had to run up and down the ladders passing message traffic for the captain. He had to sit with the ear cans listening to Morse code from Rome because Mirasat was still too expensive to use on a day-to-day basis, typing into a Ditto Master to run off a daily newspaper for the crew. He also had to keep his radars working for the ship, safety of life at sea issues. He still had the 500 kilohertz radios he had to keep a watch on in case of a seaborne disaster they could respond to. That was back in the days when Morse code was still king. And, ladies, any work these guys can slough off on anybody else, you're going to see it. Well, after my host heard this story about the guys on the ships, he's looking at me with a slim look of respect because I actually know what I'm talking about. The guys on the ships. We leave that room, and we're in the corridor. My girlfriend, who's with us on the tour, asks him a question. I don't even know what it was at the time. But while he's answering that, I'm looking at the company bulletin board next to us. You know, the local softball league sports company picnic is coming up. And the telex from Washington, subject unauthorized access to Mirasat-Cheshire. And if this Cheshire character were to pop up on your terminal, to hit the figs D to catch the answer back from his terminal, we can find out where the hell he is. Well, of course, I was using a Model 33 teletype from my place of business where we had Model 33s with the Altair 8800 computers and the acoustic coupler. That's how I got into the Twix teletype network, which sent me out to Mirasat. But seeing that memo on the wall from Washington, that's why I went 3,000 miles to visit an Earth station before I went 40 miles up the road.
Okay, we're gonna try this again. This is a warning. I'm gonna pick up the phone so we don't deafen the people in the audience. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Keep in mind also some people can read touchtone here. The calling area, no doubt, in this block. That's.
You have dialed a number that is not available from your calling area. 1203.
Okay. The suggestions we're getting are to up-divert. Well, the thing is, okay, here's the problem. You can talk about this problem, Bernie.
We probably had to make about 25 or 30 telephone calls over the past 2 or 3 weeks to get Verizon to simply install 2 regular phone lines up here on the 18th floor of the hotel.
I hung up.
There. You're hung up now.
Okay.
Just unbelievable mistakes Verizon was making. Every conceivable step of the way, if there was any possible way to get something wrong, they did. And they even figured out ways I couldn't figure out to get this wrong. Up until yesterday, we finally had everything working, including long-distance service on both lines. And today, no long-distance service on either line. In fact, there's just no long-distance carrier on either line. So we had to get some AT&T calling cards to make these long-distance calls with. So you have to bear with a little extra dialing.
Could I make a quick announcement apropos of Bernie's story? I actually run a website, VerizonEatsPoop.com. It's It was out of commission for a while, but we're back up and running, selling T-shirts and making Verizon mad. So we hope to see a grievance from Bernie soon.
Okay, so we have someone donated some AT&T calling cards to us. And not, you know, someone else's, the prepaid calling cards, which I'm not sure if this will allow us. What's this? This.
Yes,
someone also handed us an HRID number, which they somehow got. So the idea is I'm going to try to call the 800 number off this thing. Is that going to work? Well, we can try, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So the first thing we do is we call the... of course, my code is going to go out to the world. Oops, I misdialed. I'm sorry. It happens. All right, let's try again.
You have dialed a number that is not available from your calling area.
Did they cut us off completely from 800 numbers, too?
You know, I wonder. It makes me wonder if the person who wrote that memo had anything to do with a change of service on these lines overnight.
Okay.
Again, get ready.
Okay, what am I doing? All right, we'll try 1010-288, see what happens.
For 00info, U.S. directory, press 1. For other requests, please say information or credit now. For rates, terms, and conditions, press 0.
What am I doing?
Please hold for operator assistance.
I'm going to ask her for help.
How may I help you?
Yes, hi. We're trying to get through out on this line. I'm calling from AT&T Repair, HRID 847-5324. We're having trouble reaching 800 numbers on this line. Are you able to patch us through?
Not an 800 number. I can't. I'm sorry. Any other number I can't. I'm toll free.
I'm sorry. I'm not getting you.
I cannot dial any toll free number for you at all. I'll transfer you to a supervisor.
All right, thanks.
AT&T Supervisor, sorry for any trouble.
How
can I help
you? Yes, actually, hi. This is Randy Reaver from Repair. We're working on a line in the Hotel Pennsylvania, and we're trying to get out on the 800 line, and we're having trouble with that. I was wondering if you might be able to help us.
I'm very sorry, sir, but the operators are not able to dial 1-800 numbers.
Well, what happens if you try?
I won't be able to try, sir.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, I will not be able to try.
Uh-huh,
if this is 800 repair, I can give you the number if you want to try to reach the 800 repair service center.
800 repair service center? Sure, why not?
The number to call is 1-800-3000.
Hello?
Randy, did you get the number?
No, I didn't get it.
Hey, Randy, I'm sorry. You said you were with repair. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had the TV on.
All right, then, Randy. Then you should know what number you need to contact.
Well, that's the problem. I'm trying to contact that 800 number, and it's not going through.
Well, Randy, I'm sorry. I won't be able to help you.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. I will not be able to assist you.
You know, this is why we don't make any money. We don't cooperate with each other. Okay. Thanks anyway.
What's ringing? Okay. Okay, someone donated another card to us that supposedly will allow us to call the 800 number, so we're going to try that. All right? All right. Yeah, please try to contain your enthusiasm because it's difficult to explain the sound of hundreds of people laughing to... How come I'm not hearing this? Actually, can we turn down the audio this time? See, you're turning the audio up for the things we shouldn't be hearing and turning it down for the things we should. Okay, thank you. Okay, up now.
That is an invalid card number. Please enter your card number.
Okay, I'm going to try again. Maybe I took too long. No. Okay.
Please enter the telephone number you wish to dial now.
Okay.
You have 2 hours, 1 minute for this call.
Oh. You know what that means, right? That's busy circuits. That means they're getting so many calls that they can't even give us a busy signal. Oh, well. Okay. So much for AT&T, I think. Thanks. That's the same thing. Yeah. AT&T is unreachable. I have a feeling that operator read the memo, too, as she seemed awfully suspicious.
The point of view from a director assistance operator is we do not have access to any method of dialing a call anymore. The software comes up, it pops up telling us where you're calling from, where you're calling to. All we can do is feed you to Jane, the Jane Barbie recording, giving you the number. Jane can then give you the option of dialing that number, but we don't have that capability as director assistance operators anymore. And that's what I do in my day job, is I'm a director assistance operator, so that's the word. Sorry, guys.
That's right. You actually do this. You actually play with the consoles and know what happens if you actually try to dial an 800 number. I mean, punching in the numbers, it just won't work.
I don't have a field to enter that number into.
Wow.
Where I do have a field I can enter numbers into, it just doesn't let me send calls anymore.
Interesting. Okay, so basically social engineering is lying. It's saying things to people that are not true and trying to get information from them that they're not supposed to give you because they believe you're somebody that you're not. It's really that simple. Anybody can do it. And I'm sure we all have at some points. Maybe members of the audience would like to share some of their experiences a little bit later on as well. I'd like to still try a couple of things, if we can. Well, I'd love to try Verizon, but they tend to close on Sundays. That's the problem. Why do we schedule these things for Sundays all the time? We should have a talk about that. How about... Okay, the retail industry, as Alex said, is great. You can have all kinds of fun with people in retail, doing all kinds of things, telling you things you're not supposed to know. Does anybody have a favorite retail place? Okay, everyone has one, apparently. Radio Shack would be great. All right. How about Starbucks? All right. I have the page open to Starbucks. I figure I'll give them a try. All right. Dial tone. Is this 212? Okay. Maybe turn that down a little bit. Thank you. Okay, up now.
This is Randy over at NEVERC headquarters. What store number is this?
Excuse me, 7407.
7407, okay. Did you report a problem with your wireless network?
You know what? Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
I personally didn't, but...
Thank you.
believe the problem is actually with our modem, but the guy who is looking into it, I can give you him in 1 second.
I'm sorry, can you speak up? I'm having trouble with this phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said I think it's more of our modem.
Okay, tell me what the problem is, because we're on top of this.
Personally, last night I was trying to close the credit card batch, and it kept resulting in communication error.
What was the communications error? What was the exact error? Do you know?
I didn't exactly specify. I just said communication error, and the batch wouldn't settle.
Okay, so basically you have an unsettled batch?
That's right.
Okay, now what's happening today? Are you able to process credit cards?
Credit is going through. Starbucks cards are going through, you know, at the register stations, but...
Are they authorizing?
Yes.
They are authorizing?
Yes.
Okay, how... do you have a total on the batch? Is it getting huge, or is this a crisis?
Let me check this out.
Thank you.
We're almost at $300 right now for credit cards, but that includes from last night.
Okay. Do you know from what time last night?
From last time. We closed at 11 o'clock.
Okay. Now, you're dialing out on it. Have you contacted Verizon about this problem?
Verizon? I don't believe so. But like I said, our store manager called.
Mm-hmm.
About this, so I'm not sure what steps he took.
All right, the problem, it's probably a communications protocol error of some sort, but we're trying to pin down. Do you know what part of the country you're dialing to? Is it the 800 number, or is it something up in the Northwest? Do you have the number that the modem actually dials out to?
No, I honestly don't. Is there any way I can find that?
Are you near the modem yourself right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay. If you could just read the numbers on the bottom of the modem, that would be helpful.
Okay. Hang on one second. Are you looking... Which numbers are you looking for?
Anything resembling a phone number.
Okay.
Or anything written in by hand would be good, too.
You know what? I don't have either one.
Well, what kind of modem is it?
U.S. Robotics.
U.S. Robotics?
56.
It's a 56K modem. Okay, that could be part of the problem. I know we've been having some handshake problems with 56K in our headquarters. Do you have a listing of when the batch began, the exact time? That would help.
Sure. Let me.
In fact, if you had that first transaction, that would really help.
From today or from yesterday?
From yesterday. Because that's when the problem began.
Give me just a minute.
I'm sorry, speak up.
Could you give me just a minute?
Please? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Can I get it? Okay. He can't hear right now, I don't believe. Hello, sir? Basically, we're just going to see how much he gives us. Yeah, we'll get all the numbers. Sure. See, the thing with social engineering, you have to be patient sometimes, and sometimes it takes time to get information from people, and there's long gaps of silence. Okay.
Hello.
Yeah.
The first one from yesterday was an American Express transaction for $357, and the time was at 7:09:50.
Was that $3.57?
That's right.
Okay. Was that American Express Optima? American Express. Do you have the number there?
I actually do not. Let me get the.
So it would help us track when that problem began. If there are any attempts into.
Hang on one second. I'm going to have to get the report.
Okay.
In a different place.
If you have the name on the card, too, that might help.
Okay. The audit report will the very first one.
Yeah.
For the account number is 371-332-5-9.
Okay. I think I have it. I do see something. What do you have a name on that?
No, but I have an expiration date.
Okay, what's the expiration date?
It's 1003.
1003. Okay, and what's your name again?
My name's Sean.
Sean. Sean, we'll give you a call back and tell you how this worked out. We're going to try and work things out on this end. But if anyone else calls about this, just refer them. Just tell them that we'll get back to you in about an hour or so.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good day.
The first one we picked, too, the first Starbucks. Well, boy. Now, imagine, you know, there's retail outlets everywhere and people like that on the phone everywhere that will just give out information to anybody asking for it. I mean, I was making things up on the fly, network headquarters. I didn't even get the name right. I don't know where I am. Imagine if I had sat down, figured it all out, come up with a name, come up with a callback phone number, come up with a place, you know, that actually exists. You know, I could have gotten all kinds of information. You can get people to turn things off. You know, it's possible. You know, if you're really good at this kind of thing, you can have them close down for the day, you know. We have a data problem. But, you know, if you're into social engineering and low-frequency noises, my philosophy is that you do it for fun or you do it for information, but you don't do it to, you know, to cause unnecessary mayhem. For instance, years ago, I used a Roam phone system on a college campus, and they had a great feature known as Star 8. I don't know if anybody's ever used a Roam CBX. Star 8 opens a speaker on any phone. It's really kind of cool. You basically dial Star 8, then the extension, and the phone goes boop, and you're on their speaker. Well, imagine computer sync labs were basically sync sites where people are all working on their programs or reports or whatever, and there's a guy in the front sitting there making sure that people go in, have ID, and that kind of thing. He's got a phone there. Well, imagine that phone going boop. Attention, the computer center will be closing in 10 minutes. And it's nothing he can do about it, and especially if you have somebody there telling you what he looks like. You say, don't pay attention to the guy in the red shirt. He doesn't even work here. you can have all kinds of fun just by, figuring out how systems work and things like that. I don't know. You guys want to tell stories? I'll try to find something else in here, maybe.
Do I have a mic? I guess so. I remember back at the first Hope back in 94, 8 years ago, did anybody ever play with Encore telephone? Yeah, they were. I think it was a prerequisite to have an IQ under 60 in order to get a job at Encore. I mean, these were some of the dumbest people you'll ever meet in your entire life. No offense if anybody's from Encore, but all you needed to do to verify that you were an Encore employee was to have their password, which changed every season, just about. And I remember I believe that the password during the first hope, which was during the summer, was summer, and then it changed to autumn the next season. At one point, it changed to couch, I remember, but the best way to get the password from them was to just pretend that you were an Encore operator and that somehow your lines got crossed. So they say, "Hello, Encore, can I help you?" And you say, "Hello, Encore, can I help you?" And then you'd say to them, "Uh-oh, I think we got a crosstalk on the line. I'm going to have to trouble code this." And he said, "What trouble code should I make this?" And he said, "Oh, this and that." I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I need the Encore password to verify you're really from Encore." And then... Thanks. And then you'd have the password, and it was ridiculous. So we used to call up Encore and say, very similar to what Emmanuel did, and say, "We're from Network Operations Center. The password is summer. You verify myself." And we used to figure out what every key on their keyboard did. So we knew just about all their commands. But what we'd like to do best was say, "All right, we've heard, we just made crap up. Like, your hard drive isn't cross-linked to the fiber optic network properly. And we think you're getting a lot of ID10T errors. You know, if you spell that out, it spells idiot." So we used to tell them, "We need you to do something as soon as possible. Can you hold the control key, the alt key, and then hit the delete key?" So, "Now, what does your screen say?" "Oh, it's counting some memory or something." "All right, what does it go up to?" "Oh, 4,000. Oh, my God. All right, you got a big problem. I need you to disconnect your keyboard, wrap it up quickly, and start waving it until your supervisor comes over." Could do any number of things. We had them disconnect the headsets, go over and walk over and tell the supervisor they had an ID10T error. They were a lot of fun. Another great thing about them was if you call them up, you get a dial tone. They didn't have ANI, so you would just you could put in the telephone number that you wanted to be calling from. And they were ridiculous, so we used to put in a number from Anchorage, Alaska every time. And third-party bill people. It was a lot of fun. It's too bad, I think they're hiring smarter people now. Anyone else have any questions?
Why don't we take questions or anything like that? More chance for more feedback, literally. Is there a microphone there? Is there? Okay, great.
Have you been approached by either law agencies or the government to, help, do demonstrations stuff that help educate, some of their people about this thing?
Well, what's there to educate? It's just basically don't tell people things if you don't know who they are, It's,
yeah,
how hard is that to explain?
For $50, they can attend this seminar.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with all the garbage going on right now with 9/11 and stuff and Homeland Security coming into place, I'm sure there are a lot of people that could probably, if they're just even vaguely familiar with how things go internally in the federal government, to, pull techniques to get information that they're not supposed to be getting hold of that actually have some...
As long as there are human beings involved, there will always be trust issues where you can fool somebody into thinking that, you're somebody you're not over the telephone. Obviously, it's a lot harder to do this in person. There are people who can do it in person as well. But over the phone, it's relatively easy. So I guess the rule of thumb is don't give out sensitive information over the phone, regardless. And use encryption when you do things over the internet. Anyone else?
We're starting to run low on time, I think.
Yeah, we are running low on time, and it takes energy. All right, give me a second to look something up. All right.
Real quick. Legally, how far?
All right. But there's no guarantees these are going to work, It could look like an idiot. All right, I'm just going to try something at random. This may not even work, so don't count on much. Dial tone, please. No dial tone.
Oh.
There we go.
Thank you for calling the Russian Tea Room. You may now make a reservation online by visiting www.russiantearoom.com. If you know your party's three-digit extension, you may enter it at any time or press pound for the Russian Tea Room Executive Office Directory. For reservations, press 1. For private dining, press 2. For the Russian Tea Room Restaurant Directory, press 3. One moment, please. Thank you for calling the Russian Tea Room. This is Asha. How can I assist you?
Hi. My wife made reservations tonight at 8:30, and I need to change those.
To what time?
What time do you close?
The last tea tonight. What's the last name?
Well, that's another problem. My wife, I'm not sure what name she used.
Was it Hansen?
I'm sorry?
Hansen?
Yeah. Okay.
Peter?
What first name did she give?
Peter.
Peter Hansen, yeah. You see, that's not my name. That's one of my pen names. I'm a writer.
Oh.
In fact, I have a book coming out. Well, never mind that. It's 8:30 is what she has it for. And what time is the last meeting?
Hold on, okay?
Thank you. Should I do this? I mean, the guy's going to be...
You can always call back.
Yeah, we'll call back later and fix it.
Thank you for calling, sir. The last meeting is at 9 o'clock.
I'm sorry, say that again?
The last meeting is at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Okay, you might as well move it to there. Did she leave a contact number on there?
201-314-8283.
Okay. Wait, one more time,
was it? I'm
sorry? 201 what?
314-8283. Yes.
Okay. All right. I'll have a talk with her, but that would be fine if you could change that. Thank you.
Okay.
Right. We have to make this complete, all right? We have to... All right. We need the calling card that allows us to call local number. Okay, we have a dial tone? Okay. Thanks, everybody, for donating these cards, by the way, from Dowling.
No, that would be unfair.
It was 9 o'clock, right? Okay. Did she get it? No. Okay, we need another card. It's got to be a local number, though, because we can't call 818. Okay.
We're sorry. All circuits are...
Okay, dial tone.
Please enter your PIN number now.
All right.
Have $3.06. Please enter your destination number now.
Please be quiet on this.
1 hour, 45 minutes. Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. Mildred Hansen is not available at the tone. Please record your message.
Yeah, man, this is for Peter Hansen. This is the Russian Tea Room calling. Because of a health inspector that we weren't expecting, we have to move your reservation to 9 o'clock. Sorry for the inconvenience. Please call us if you have any questions. Thank you. Bye.
Well, that's one restaurant I can never go to again. But we will call them and put the reservation back the way it was a little later on so that the Hansons aren't disturbed. Any other questions? Because we're pretty much out of time. That's what social engineering is all about. Usually it's fun. Sometimes it's very informative. If we knew people there that we had to find information about, it's useful to have these tricks at your disposal where you know you can get people to trust you and tell you things. Fortunately, we had no idea who we were talking to today, so it was just a demonstration of random data. But if you're trying to find somebody, trying to track somebody down, work out something, it can be very useful to get people to trust you. And there are ways of doing it. There are ways of not doing it. Sounding flustered is always good. I sounded a bit flustered that time. I was the crazy husband that didn't know what his wife was doing. Having a foreign accent, boy, that really gets you all kinds of things because people just don't want to continue talking to somebody that doesn't understand what you're saying and keeps asking you to repeat yourself and makes up bizarre words and things like that. There's all kinds of different tactics, but the beauty of the telephone is if it doesn't work, you just hang up and try again, and you get a whole new person and you can start from scratch. And it's also kind of a stepping stone because you get some information the first time, which you can use the second time, and just keep building until you know more about what you're trying to find out than the person you're talking to. And you can have them even change information like we just did here. So did anybody else have any questions or comments from the podium? No? All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for coming. Please collect your calling cards, whoever gave them to us. These are ours. We really do have to call them and change that back. Yeah.